Hello, everybody. Good morning. We just want to start off by thanking everyone for all of your prayers and support these past 12 years. And I know many people here today don't even know who we are. And so Sue would just like to do a 3 or 4 minute introduction to our ministry.
It's on. Okay. Great. Hi, everybody. Oh, it's so good to be home. We love you guys. New friends, old friends, thank you for having us. Thank you, Pastor Wes, for having us today. It's been a while since before COVID. So we're Danny and Susan Forte, your supported missionaries. We serve our Lord in his kingdom with China Outreach Ministries in Albany, a very foreign country. Sharing the love, hope, and truth of Christ with Chinese students, scholars, and family members that are at UAlbany and RPI. Our story started here at Grace Church with all of you in 1999 when we were married at the old Grace Church. So it's almost 24 years, going on 25. Yay. In 2009, we were in Scott Taylor's growth group when we decided to go on a short-term mission trip to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary and to thank God for bringing us together. You prayed for us, you loved us, and you encouraged us. We went to China for 2 weeks to teach English, and we came back forever changed, realizing that God was calling us to something. We didn't know what that was. Not knowing what that something was, we prayed and walked in faith and prayed and walked in faith, and we realized that God wanted us to work with Chinese students, scholars, and family members who are here in the United States in our midst studying in our universities, sharing Jesus with them in the hope that when they return back to China, that they'll bring Jesus back with them to their families, friends, coworkers, and neighbors. In May of 2011, we moved to Albany to start a new ministry with Chinese and other international students at SUNY Albany and RPI. We are thankful to Grace Church and so many individuals from this church for supporting us financially, prayerfully, throughout these past 12 years. We're just so grateful. And we'll be out in the foyer after service to share more about the ministry for anyone who's interested. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you all so much.
Oh, I don't need it. Oh, they mic me up. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Happy first Sunday of Advent. Today's sermon is going to be very brief, and I just kind of want to cover three things about hope. First is, what is it and how it's different, the Christian hope, different from the worldly hope? And then about why it's important. Hope produces faith produces hope, then hope produces love and joy in us, and that's what people need so much of in our world. And then finally, how do we get this hope? So those are the things, three things that I'd like you to be able to try to remember from today. Okay, in general, hope means a coming or an arrival, which was said with the lighting of the candle. And in the Christian tradition, I took this from the internet, Advent is the season of the year leading up to Christmas. Christians often speak of Christ's first advent and second advent, that is, his first and second comings to the earth. When I was a little boy, I always was confused about Advent because I said, why are we like getting prepared for something that already happened? And I just didn't even know who to ask about that. But it was just very confusing to me. Just like I grew up Catholic and grace was always confusing to me because I always had it wrong. Bless us, O Lord, and I would say, and these our gifts. And I was like, how can I be giving our food to God? And it was thy gifts that, you know, I had it wrong. It was God giving his gifts to us. But you can see how important it is. Don't take anything for granted about what people understand and know. And we've learned that so much in our ministry, that the simplest things about God and about Jesus, people often don't know. And even in church, people come and they don't really know the most simple things. And so never be embarrassed to cover elementary things. So the Advent season lasts for 4 Sundays. Advent ends on Christmas Eve. The Advent celebration is both a commemoration of Christ's first coming and an anticipation of his second coming. As Israel longed for their Messiah to come, so Christians long for their Savior to come again. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. We celebrate it with the lighting of the Hope Candle. And since today is the first Sunday of Advent, we are going to concentrate this morning on hope. What is hope? Well, from a worldly perspective, we say things like, I hope it doesn't rain. Well, some of us say, I hope the Mets win the World Series. Where I come from in Albany, most people say, I hope Boston wins the World Series. And down here, it's probably the Yankees. Being a Met fan is like being a Buffalo Bills fan. It's very difficult. And often we say, I hope they have that toy that I'm looking for our children, and now it's our grandchildren. All of these statements have a degree of uncertainty or doubt. Biblical hope has no doubt. It is meant to be certain. So that's the first thing. What is this hope? It's, in a Christian perspective, our hope is certain. How can hope be certain? Well, hopefully we'll get to see that today. The scripture today is, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It's the most natural way to share the gospel. When you're filled with hope, you're filled with love and joy. And people want to know, what's different about you? Why are you happy in this world that's so full? This world can be so brutal. So many things can happen. And I know firsthand, and I'm sure many of you know firsthand too. So what is this hope that Peter is talking about? Well, we know that it's certain, but certain of what? So for those who admit their sins and trust God's provision of Jesus, we can be certain, and these hopes are all present in Advent too, the past of Advent, the present of Advent, and the future of Advent. We can be certain that we are forgiven of all of our sins and all of our shame and guilt, that our lives are completely in God's loving hands, no matter what you're going through, that all things in our lives will work out for good, that our lives can have eternal purpose, and that an eternity awaits us that is joined to Jesus and to our brothers and sisters, free of pain and suffering. All of our tears will be wiped away. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That God doesn't just want us to know these things. He wants us to be certain of these things. And it's okay if you're not certain. But it's not okay if you're comfortable there. Ask God, Lord, help me. I know you want me to be certain. Help me to be certain of all of these things. And you will be amazed at how your life will change. In our ministry, it's one of the biggest things that we have is that hope, that certainty. And people see it in our lives when they come over to share a meal or to watch a movie or whatever. And they ask us questions about it. And then we can share our faith naturally, the way Peter intended. Well, how can we get this hope? How can we can be certain of these things? We need two things, basically. First is to saturate ourselves in the scriptures. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Again, being sure, being certain, being convinced of what we do not see. So faith produces hope, gives us hope. How do we get this faith? So we receive hope, confidence in what we believe by faith. How do we acquire this faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If you saturate yourself in the word of God, you read it daily, God will birth hope into you. but there's a cooperation. God does it by his grace, but we cooperate by making time to study. You know, I'm counseling a young man who's going to college, and he's very busy in all his work, and he's Asian, and you know, I say, do you have just 10 minutes a day to give to the Lord? And he says, you know, I know I do, but I can't find it, you know? So we finally agree that he just can't get up early in the morning, that he's going to start to do it at night before he goes to sleep. So we'll see how that works out. But it's just so important that we spend time in the Word of God and allow God to, because the Word of God is alive. And it's just as if when you're hungry and you eat, and to stay alive, and that food changes you inside. It's changed to give you energy and healing and different things. The Word of God is alive. And as you read it and as you study it, it will change you. God will use it to birth hope in you. And that hope will produce love and joy. And people will see it. So the Word of God is alive. It produces faith, which produces hope. We also need to change our attitude towards suffering. So there's two things that we need to do to have this hope put inside of us. One is to saturate ourselves in the scriptures, and the other is to change our attitude towards suffering. I don't like to suffer. And usually I'll pray, Lord, take this suffering away from me. I'm going to be 69 in February, and since I've been 65, I've been diagnosed with I needed a heart valve replacement. I've had COVID pneumonia. I've had a hip replacement. I've been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis. It just goes on and on. But God has used it all and has changed my heart towards my suffering. And that's what we need to do. Psalm 131:2 says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. A young baby that hasn't been weaned yet is very, you know, moving around and stuff and just wanting to be fed, and it's very kind of itchy and nervous and everything. But a weaned child is at peace. It's satisfied with just being in its mother's arms or in its mother's presence. And I've learned slightly to be satisfied in the Lord's presence, no matter what I'm going through. And you can have that too. Just admit, Lord, I don't have it. Lord, help me to have it. And the more you saturate yourself in the scriptures, the more he'll produce it in you. So, the next scripture, not only so, Romans 5, 3 to 5, but we also glory in our sufferings. Glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So there's a progression, and that progression is how we get this hope. We saturate ourselves in the scriptures, allowing God to birth hope into us, and we change our attitude towards our sufferings or our circumstances that we don't like, knowing that God will use it all for our good, and we can be certain of that. This morning I had a terrible stomach ache. I always get nervous when I preach. And so in front of people, you know, I'm much better in small little groups. And but I just thank God coming down, right, Sue? I said, thank you, Lord, for feeling all of this anxiousness. It'll help me not to be proud of getting up here in front of people. And Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to be able to make a connection with your precious people, giving them this basic understanding, very basic. I'm a very basic, that's the way God's anointed my ministry, just very basic. And hope is very basic. It's something that's certain, It's something that can change our lives, make us more effective in God's hands. And the way that we get this hope is by saturating ourselves in Scripture and by changing our attitude when things happen to us that we don't like. Because Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things work for good. Okay, a little bit from my Catholic background. Pope John Paul, the Roman Catholic Church, expressed this well about Advent. What are the specific hopes of Advent, past, present, and future? And he said, Advent helps us to understand the fullness of the value and meaning of the mystery of Christmas. It is not just about commemorating the historical event which occurred some 2,000 years ago in a little village of Judea. Instead, we must understand that our whole life should be an Advent. Our whole life. In vigilant expectation of Christ's final coming, to prepare our hearts to welcome the Lord, who, as we say in the Creed, will come one day to judge the living and the dead. We must learn to recognize his presence in the events of daily life. Advent is then a period of intense training that directs us decisively to the one who has already come, who will come, and who continuously comes. So that's a pretty powerful thing. And again, there's a past aspect of Advent, which I never knew when I was a little boy, the future aspect, and the present aspect. The past aspect is the one we know. God became a man and came to this earth, Merry Christmas, and taught us and died for us, and now by trusting him, he lives inside of us. So that's the past for most of us. What's the future? Just as we can be confident that he came at Christmas, everybody's pretty confident that he came at Christmas, we can be certain that he will come again. That will change your life. I know for me that I used to be afraid of death, and that was like 6 years ago before all these things happened to me. And then God used all of these things to make me realize, well, it is sad when you die because of all the people around you, you know, that'll miss you, but it's not sad for you. You're going to be in God's presence instantaneously. You're going to be with him and feeling his love and his presence. And so I'm not quite afraid of death anymore. I mean, I'm still, because it's not, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm still a little nervous. But I'm more nervous today standing in front of you than about my death. I mean, if you can believe that. But it's true. And God had to put me through a lot of stuff in order to teach me that. And the present. Jesus comes into the lives of those who trust him to forgive them of their sins, but it doesn't end there. He then comes into our lives daily to encourage us, to guide us, to empower us with joy and love while serving him now and forever. And so this Advent, don't just think of it as preparing your hearts for Christmas, which is good, but prepare your hearts for him coming again and prepare your hearts for his daily coming into your life. And as you become more and more aware and thankful of his daily coming into your life, your hope will increase, your joy will increase, and your love will increase. So there's cooperation. God does the work, but we cooperate. Never forget that. Application. Ask God for this hope. Pray for it. Lord, give me this hope. Saturate yourself in the knowledge of God, his holy word. View your sufferings differently. Know that God is faithful. He will birth hope into your hearts by his grace through the Holy Spirit. Truly, then, your Christmas will be merry and joyful, and you will be able to share your hope and love with others. I told you it was a pretty simple message. The last scripture, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, because he is our hope, both now and forever. Amen. Okay, I just want to end it in prayer. Lord, I lift up all the people here today that don't know you, that don't have hope. Lord, that they would understand that you are a marvelous God, you are a loving God, and you offer them hope. If you don't know how to come to the Lord, how to become a Christian, look to your right or to your left and ask someone, especially after the service, how do I become a Christian? And they will be overjoyed to answer you. Lord, I also pray for those who are Christians, that their hope has just gone down, almost like a fire going out. Lord, I pray that they would take hold today and say, Lord, I apologize. I'm sorry for allowing my hope to be snuffed out. Lord, help me to have this hope again. Let me cooperate with you, Lord, by studying my Bible daily, by looking at my circumstances differently. Lord, help me. For those who are walking with the Lord and have this hope, Lord, I pray for them that it would grow even more and that they would be witnesses for you through their daily lives, Lord God. In all of these things, I pray in your most precious name. Amen. Thanks, everybody.